Well, it is a privilege to be here tonight, to be able to come, and it's a privilege that Pastor Weaver asked me to come and speak, and to be able to be a part of the first service of the new year. And so what a blessing it is for me tonight to be able to do so. It is good to be home for a little bit. You know, we've been down there in central Mexico, Guanajuato, the state of Guanajuato. It's in central Mexico, and the town of San Miguel de Allende. And it's a small town. It's a good-sized town. Not a whole lot of traffic over that way. But as far as transportation, you got some buses and taxis. And over there, there's no stoplights or anything. Just stop signs. Whether you use them or not, who knows? But there are stop signs. But it's an old tradition town. Has a lot of historic culture there, and it's just a real neat place to visit to see. But at the same time, there are a lot of souls there. A lot of North Americans that do live there, not a whole lot in these past several years. Many have moved out, but there's still a good portion of Americans, Canadians that do live there. Maybe they come to visit in the time of different seasons, and then some live there all year round. And but the majority of there are Mexican people, and the Lord had put it in our hearts to go and work there. And so we went there last year as far as trying to get to know the place. And we've started three Bible study groups in town at three different houses with three different families. So pray for us as we do this. We have it like a Monday night, Tuesday night, and a Thursday night at these different houses that we have a Bible study and a time of fellowship with the folks there. And so we're looking at in this new year to find a place of location where we can meet one together and have services. So do pray about that as we seek the Lord's direction as far as what part of town we can start at. So just starting things from the bottom and working our way up. But this is something new for my wife and I. We've, in the past, as missionary work, we've worked with other pastors, national pastors, and worked with them, helped them in their ministries, and of course learning Spanish for me, and just working with the people. And so now here we are branching out on our own and beginning a new work. And so it's a privilege and yet a lot of responsibility. So do pray for us in this endeavor as you are part of it. You're our home church, and you pray and support us, and we can't do it without you. We need you to hold the ropes, as they say. So don't let go of the rope. Just hold on a little tighter, and let us go down into central Mexico. If you're not going to go, we'll go. And as far as the security there, a lot of people say, well, is it dangerous? And well, there's some areas around there that can be very dangerous, but there in San Miguel, it's pretty quiet, if you can say, to some extent. There's not anything dangerous or threatening our lives as far as any of the folks there, the people, the cartels, as they call them. But do pray for us. We're still always alert what we do, where we go, and travel in the daytime. We travel long distances, but still just taking wisdom on our part. But as far as the Lord leading us, we're there. We have no family relatives. We're there. We went on our own, not knowing anybody. And the Lord blessed us with a couple families, some friends that we've made, some folks. They invite us over to eat and invite us over to eat, invite us over to eat. So I think they're our friends. So they're a blessing to us. And they have some kids, and Damatis is able to play with them. And so it's just a blessing. You know, the Lord will just take care of you if you just trust Him and go forward, and He'll provide. And as many missionaries, we've had a rough year as far as trying to get started, and different things come in our lives, and sometimes you just feel like you're going to break. Sometimes you feel like, I don't know, I feel like we just need to go back home, you know. Just, but that's not always the answer, you know. Like Dr. Barber always says, you know, no matter where you move to, your problems and things still go with you. And so it's just a matter of seeking the Lord's direction. The Lord did help us, and He came through and showed us once again that He is faithful. And you know, when you're out there in central Mexico, man, sometimes you just get hungry for something up here. Man, you think of some of those Tex-Mex restaurants. Man, it's just, you know, you grow up on those things. You just, wow, I wouldn't mind having some of those cheese enchiladas. The enchiladas down there aren't like they are up here. They're different. They're different. And sometimes, you know, you miss your mom's cooking. I don't want to spend too much time. My wife is here, so I don't want to say much about that. But, no, my wife can cook. A couple months ago, she told me, she said, Darren, I'm sorry, son, I just can't cook. And I thought, 7 years of marriage, and now you tell me you just can't cook? But, oh, well, I'm in it for the long run, so no turning back. Amen. But pray for us. Thank you for your prayers and your support. And it's a blessing to be able to be here in my home church and to be able to preach and see old faces and see a lot of new faces. It's a blessing. And so I'm glad Miss Cook is here tonight. I remember we was in Bible college. We'd be across the street preaching in children's church, and she would have a time of teaching, and then later some of the preacher boys would get up to preach. And when she was shaking her head, you knew you were saying the right things. So you knew you had it right. So I'm glad she's here tonight. I know if I got it right or not. So, but I'm glad my mom, dad, my family's here, my wife, and our little girl, Damatis. And so it's just a blessing to be here tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. This January the 6th in Mexico, they have another holiday, and it's called the Day of the Kings. They have, of course, Christmas, the 25th, and then as well as nationally. But in Mexico, they have the Day of the Kings. They celebrate the kings as they bring the gifts to Christ. And some of the kids, they ask them, I've seen it on TV, are you looking for Christmas gifts, or are you going to wait till the Day of the Kings? And some say, I'll wait till the Day of the Kings. Probably some of them say both. They get more presents. But there is a day throughout Mexico on January the 6th every year. And of course, as we read this story account about the wise men, these wise men that came to Christ, it was sometime later. Some have said it's a year and a half, maybe 15 months or so later, when these wise men came to see Christ. But let's read this story here in Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 through 12. And I'll read the scripture here. The Bible says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, What time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy word. What a privilege it is to be able to open your word this evening. And Lord, as we gather here in this time, I pray that Holy Spirit, you'd speak to our hearts. Use this message to speak to our hearts or bring the lost to thee. And whatever your will be, Lord, have your will and way and hide me behind the cross. Thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, we see here in this account, we see the prophecy and that came to pass where these wise men were looking for Jesus who was born. And they were coming from the east. As we know, we don't know how many wise men there were, but the Bible tells us there were some men who came to search for Jesus Christ. And they brought these gifts. And we know these gifts were folks that brought something to the Lord Jesus. And we know that these wise men, they believed in Christ. They believed in the Messiah. They were studying the stars, and yet they were studying the Old Testaments. And they were looking for this one who was to come. And we know that they were looking for Christ. And we know Herod, he was not looking for Christ. He was not looking for him, but when he heard about that they were coming to seek the king of the Jews, he was worried. He was afraid. He didn't want nobody to take his throne of position. And then he got real spiritual. He started calling all the scribes and priests and saying, "What does it say in the scripture?" And they read the scripture. You know, even as I heard a missionary say one time, even the lost have the scriptures. You know, the religious have scriptures, but they don't have the truth of what the scriptures teach. But here he spoke to the wise men. Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And Herod said, "Well, come and tell me where he is when you find him." And of course, the wise men went off and they followed the star. And the Bible says they, in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. What a sight that must have been to see the star leading them to Christ, leading them to the child Jesus at this time. And the Bible says in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. What a wonderful, neat thing it is how the Bible tells us they came into the house. Here, Mary and Joseph was just a typical family. A family. They had a house, a place they laid their heads, where they ate their meals, and they were taking care of the young child Jesus. And the Bible says they came in and fell down, and they worshipped Jesus. And the Bible says they opened their treasures, and they presented to him gifts. They presented to him gifts. And I want to focus on these gifts tonight. And the gifts of Jesus Christ. Number one, we see the gift of gold. The Bible says that they opened up their treasures. They presented unto him gifts. The first gift is gold. You know, gold is symbolic for a king. Gold is the most desired treasure. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, King Solomon received gold from other kings when he began his reign. In 2 Chronicles 9, chapter 9 tells us, he used the gold for his kingdom. He made his throne of ivory and he overlaid it with gold. 1 Kings 10, verse 18. He even made the drinking cups were made of gold. How about that? Would you like to have a drinking cup made of gold? Wow. And 1 Kings 10, 21 tells us, and all the drinking vessels, the Bible says, and all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house. He even had 300 shields made of gold. Even the king, the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 12:30 that the crown of kings were even made of gold. But what a wonderful sight as we see here that the gift of gold for Jesus Christ is to say that he is the king. He is the king of the Jews and king of the world. These wise men went to worship the king. And verse 2 tells us, Matthew 2, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And truly, he is, was, and is still the king of the Jews and king of all the world and heaven and all the universe. For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship the king. They brought the perfect gift of gold for King Jesus. The Bible tells us there is a king who's greater than King Solomon. Matthew 12:42, Jesus said in his ministry, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, parts of the earth, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Wow, we have a king, Jesus Christ. The Bible declares Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Revelation 19, verse 16, the Bible says, when he comes in the clouds, when we shall ride with him on horses, the Bible says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine how surprised Joseph and Mary and even perhaps the child Jesus when they saw the gift of gold? When they presented unto him gifts. How many of us have received gifts in this past week? And wow, thank you. Oh, this is great. With surprise and with gratitude. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? Oh, look at this. This is beautiful. On that same other side of this token, I was thinking about this gold. And I was thinking in relation, how can we relate this into our lives personally? And I was thinking, the Christians of gold. Christians of gold. Did you know that God wants children of gold? God, He wants children of gold. I'm not talking about golds of rings and necklaces and coins upon us, and those things are okay in its place, but what I'm talking about is that God wants His children to grow spiritually in Christ for His glory. You know, the process of gold in this world isn't an easy process. Gold in its natural state is not pure. It is mixed with silver and other metals. In the process, the gold is crushed, ground down to a watery substance, then placed in a furnace of fire for over 2.5 hours. And in this process, the gold sinks to the bottom while other minerals rise to the surface. The gold has remained in the furnace of fire until the gold is 99.9% pure, according to the valuation that they have to make the gold pure. And you know, our God in Christ has a process for His children to be gold for Him. To be gold for Him. The process of God is through tribulations, pain, and the things that come in our life and that breaks our hearts. God wants to change our motives, our desires, our minds, and our hearts so that we might trust in Him. If we don't trust in Him, we trust in ourselves and we trust in others. God wants us to be a testimony to other Christians and to the lost sinners in this world. Reading the Bible accounts, the Bible stories, God works in the lives of men and women of God to bring them to that place to trust in Him. Amy Carmichael, a missionary to India many years ago, she spent her last 20 or 30 years bedridden because she had fell in a pit of some sort and she had hurt her legs, her body. And so she laid in bed for the last years of her life. And yet through this time, she was able to write many books and many books on counseling and things of that nature. She speaks about coping with physical illness or some trial as if it is an iron crown in your life. You know, an iron crown can be so heavy, so weightful that it can pull you down. And she says, I quote, "Whatever the iron crown may be, so long as one is marching, let the drums beat and the flags fly. What does it matter that no one knows the cost of those brave words? He whose crown was of thorns knows all that is covered from casual glance of man. Where others see merely a decorating exterior, he sees a soul, sometimes a tortured soul, looking up into his eyes for courage and grace to live triumphantly one moment at a time." Sometimes you and I may have iron crowns to wear in our life, and they are heavy, and we think no one really cares or no one notices. But Jesus Christ, who wore the crown of thorns, He knows. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what the weight of the crown is. He knows. He knows. The words of Solomon said, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." The words of Job, he said in Job 23, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doeth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God wants children of gold. In the words of Christ, John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The gift of gold. What a gift the wise men brought to Christ. We also see the second gift. The gift of frankincense. The gift of frankincense. I was looking in some materials and it gave me a little information as far as frankincense is a product of a tree found in on the continent of Africa. Frankincense was used as a perfume or incense, and it was known for its white color. The Bible tells us frankincense is pure. In Leviticus 24:7, the Bible, God described, used pure frankincense as an offering of incense. But the wise men, they brought the gift of this pure frankincense. And when I thought about that pureness of the frankincense, I thought that the gift for Jesus, because He is pure. He is pure. And so He is God. He is God. Only God is pure. Holy, holy, thou art holy. And yet Jesus is pure because Jesus is God. Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. The Apostle Paul said, Philippians 2, 5 through 6, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus is God, and God is Jesus. Was it good that the wise men worshiped Jesus? God wrote in the law of Moses only to worship God and none else. Do you think God was angry at the wise men? No, because Jesus is God. And it was good for them to worship Jesus. As I say again, Jesus is God and man. The gift of frankincense. As they came to worship their Savior, their Creator. And on the other side of this token, I thought, well, how could we relate this personally in our own lives? You know, I thought of, well, Christians of imperfection. I can't say Christians of perfection. Christians of imperfection. We are not perfect, according to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I remember a long time ago, I remember hearing the evangelist Dr. House says, I want to hit the man who told me I'd never sin after I was saved. Said he wanted to hit the man because it was not true. He realized he would sin after he was saved. And I'm not saying we can sin and do bad things and use the excuse, well, I'm not perfect and nobody is, so that's true. We just look the other way. No, we are responsible for our sins before God and Jesus Christ. Someone said, yet the concept of human frailty must never become a cop-out for sin. Gossip, pride, sexual sins, cheating, hate, of all these are not frailties, but sins. And as such, are roadblocks between the non-Christian and God. As God's children, we are His, but we are responsible for our actions. But I want to say, we will never be holy and perfect until we go to heaven. Until we go to heaven, when we see Christ, we will be perfect. We will be like Him. We'll be in the Spirit, in the Lord. And we'll have to handle this imperfection in our life, this sin. But I believe you would understand what I'm trying to say tonight, but on the other side of this token, when we walk with Christ in this life, when we are wrestling and marching in the faith, when we walk with Christ, we begin to see our imperfections. We begin to see it. And we don't rejoice about it. Sometimes we get discouraged, or we try to change it. We try to improve on it. At least that ought to be our desire, to try to deal with these things. We deal with our imperfections, such as fear, loneliness, temptations, family affairs, emotions, anger, and etc. At times we need counseling, and sometimes in our life, when physical things come in our life, sometimes we might need medication as far as when we seek counsel and direction in that matter. Someone has said many misconceptions regarding imperfection and sin persist about those who seek counseling. The misconception is that when a person consults a counselor only when one is crazy. But that's not true. Seeking help is not a sign of being crazy, but it's a sign of trying to take courage. As Christians, we're not always spiritually strong. We're not always spiritually strong. We're not always on the spiritual mountain. I'd like to read a quote of the late English preacher Charles Spurgeon. He said, "The strong are not always vigorous, the wise not always ready, the brave not always courageous, and the joyous not always happy." Sometimes we think when things come in our life, we think, well, do I have sin in my life? But it's not always the result of sin just because we have a hard time. It could be a time that the Lord is teaching us something. And the things in our life that comes, it's just the way the things are. Remember the account in Judges. Samson slayed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of an ass, which he found. Yet after his great victory that the Lord had given him, he was sore athirst, and he prayed, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hands of these uncircumcised Philistines?" But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water. And when he had drunk the water, his spirit came again, and he revived. Truly, the strong are not always vigorous. Sometimes the strong even get weak. Even the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his time of loneliness and under deep depression, he sought his Father's comfort and direction to help. Dear Christian, don't be discouraged with your imperfections, but seek the Lord's help and strength to overcome them and to serve the Lord for his glory. I quoted an old preacher many years ago said, "I want to say this to help somebody. Say, did you ever feel like your feet were going down and down and down? Well, beloved, I know how you feel. Do you ever feel like everything on earth was gone and something had gone wrong upstairs? Well, I know how you felt. Did you ever feel like everything on earth was gone and something had gone wrong upstairs? Well, I know how you felt. Have you ever gone to bed and rolled from side to side and the morning would come and you had not slept a wink? Well, I know that you are talking about. Say, were you ever just worse than broke? I don't mean badly bent. My enemy said I was broke. They didn't know the half of it. I was broke all flat." The late Dr. J. Frank Norris. Even the strong can get weak. We are not perfect, but we do have a perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, who will always carry us and help us and see us through. The gift of gold, frankincense. And we see here the gift of myrrh. And the gift of myrrh. Myrrh is a perfume or an ointment from a tree. And it's said that myrrh is very expensive. And myrrh was used for burials or for embalmments. The wise men brought the gift of myrrh for Jesus to speak of the crucified, buried, and resurrected Savior over sin and death. The child Jesus came to take away, as he grew into a man, to go to the cross, to take away the sins of man. Matthew 1:21, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus is the Savior of men. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We're going to San Miguel to seek and to save those who are lost. Will they come? Will you come? We want to beg the people, come to Christ. No one's over there celebrating, "Hey, they're back." No, we go alone. We go there with Christ. And we take one step at a time. Try to win the people to the Lord. We were in a furniture type store, and it's called Liverpool. It's kind of like a Dillard's or something like that. And it's like only one store over there. It's real nice. You know, they had the perfumes and the bright lights. And we walked in there. Our daughter Damana said, "Wow, I feel like I'm in Fort Worth." You know, because yeah, it does. You just because you go to these little places and you go, "Wow," it just kind of made you feel like you were back here. And, we started talking to this one man. He sells some things over there. And my wife was witnessing to him and talking to him. He's real nice. He's just real friendly. And asked him about knowing Christ, asked him, do you know what we're missionaries? Do you know what missions is? And he's like, no, I don't know what missions is. There's people that don't know, have no concept of what the church really is. What missions is, what even the gospel is. They don't know. And here we are rejoicing and praying and giving and praise the Lord for that. But yeah, there's people that just don't know. But Jesus, he came to seek. And aren't you glad he sought you? And he sought me. He sought us. And he's seeking everybody. All they have to do is just willingly come to him. Jesus Christ is our living Savior. And as I thought about this myrrh, this gift, as it represented the burial of Jesus Christ and representing his resurrection, I thought for us, as God's children, we are children of the blessed hope. Children that we have hope in this life. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. As Titus tells us, of the blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has his children of hope in this world for his glory. And that is you and that is I. Well, like Dr. Barber would say at this time, that's my introduction. Now I'm ready to preach. I thought I'd get your attention. No, I just have this last point with three small points. So, outside of looking at those gifts, I want to focus in on the wise men's heart. Number one, they had the heart of determination. The heart of determination. They traveled from the east. They didn't get in the train or in the plane. Maybe they had the camels, the mules, who knows. But they traveled from afar, the Bible says. And they searched through the scriptures. They studied the stars. And how we need to be determined for Jesus Christ, to serve him in this new year and go forward for him, to be the best parents, the grandparents, the teacher, the preacher, the missionary, the co-worker, the friend, the neighbor that God wants you and I to be. Be determined. Be determined. You know, sometimes when God wants to make us of gold, it's so easy to not be determined. And we go to the side. When God wants to make us children of gold, but we say, no, that's too much, and we turn away. Help us not to have that in this year. Help us, if the Lord wants to work on us in a way that we don't understand, a way that is so hard, and it's cloudy, and it's dark, may we just say, the Lord knoweth the way that I take, and I shall come forth as gold. They had the heart of determination. They also had the heart of gratitude. They came, they worshiped Christ. They had a heart of gratitude for Christ. And we need, and if you have it tonight, continue to have a heart of thanksgiving to our God. We need to have that heart of thanksgiving. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. So much. We have so much. And let us keep that heart of thanksgiving that we might say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this food. Thank you for those clothes. Thank you. Thank you. They had a heart of determination. They had a heart of gratitude. And thirdly, they had a heart of giving. A heart of giving. They gave their gifts. They had a heart of giving. We need or continue to have a heart of giving. Our witnessing, our serving in the church, giving our tithes and offerings. It's not the time to withhold our money in this year. It's the time to continue to keep giving. And if God puts in your heart to give more, give more. It doesn't matter what happens in our economy. God will always bless. He'll take care of us when we give our tithes and offerings. He will open the windows of heaven and he will bless. The blessing may not always be money. It's his wisdom and how he wants to bless you and I. But he will bless us. And time again, he's proved that to my family and I. He's always taken care of us. And so much more that he has been faithful. He will take care of us in this new year. Trust him. Put your trust in him. Let's live by faith. And let's give. Do you have a heart of giving? Or will you continue to have a heart of giving? Don't cancel it in this 2 year. Keep on giving. God gave Jesus for us. How can we not give to our God? The wise men, they were determined to seek Christ and to glorify them with their lives. And what a wonderful story this is, how they came to worship the child Jesus. And what a testimony that they have at this time, that as we look back and see their lives and how they served Christ. And may we go forward to do the same. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to preach here in my home church. It's just like a grand moment for me down in my soul. Thank you that you brought me here to be able to do this. You kept us safe on the road, and you brought us here for this time. I don't know what the future holds, but I know your will always be done. No matter what happens in our lives, through life or through death, you will always be faithful to the end. Thank you that even in our imperfection, sometimes we have the greedy attitude, and sometimes we hold back, and sometimes we don't give, or help us to look to you, Lord. Sometimes we have to hold back. Maybe it's not right to give for someone that's do wrong things. But help us to remember to do what you'd have us to do in the moments when you speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of your people here tonight. I pray you use this message to speak to our hearts that in this new year, as we go forward, I'm not here to discourage. I'm here to encourage. To know that no matter what happens, God, you are in control. And when we lose sight of our faith in thee, as at times it does, and it will happen because many of the people in the Bible, it happened. It will happen to us. But again, as you were faithful to them, you'll be faithful to us as long as we obey and look to thee. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Miss Weaver and for the leadership here. Continue to bless in Jesus' name.